Okay. Of course, you couldn't tell me that. I was never going to become one of those hollow-eyed, bleeding-gum human wrecks that haunt the underworld of the drug culture. I had too much self-respect for that, too much pride in my physical abilities, and too much confidence in my own willpower. No white powder was ever going to overcome my steely self-control. Until it did. But the story of my addiction doesn't stop there. There was another powder I was addicted to, and in a way that addiction was far more potent and seductive than my need for speed had ever been. That powder came out of the sky when weather conditions were just right, and the freezing bite of the air brought down a dust so fine and pure you could blow it away with a puff of your breath. It covered everything, coating mountains and valleys and the slopes in between until it was all you could see, glinting in the sun or spreading out under a low bank of clouds where earth met heaven. And it was heavenly in a way that's impossible to describe to anyone who hasn't launched themselves on a snowboard into that clean, empty space where the only sound is the soft whisper of acceleration, and all you're conscious of is a weightless, floating, and buoyant exhilaration. I was addicted to powdered snow. The crystals are tiny and dry and lighter than air, the polar opposite of the fat, wet, and heavy snow that turns to slush even as you maneuver through it. Fresh powder gets thrown up in shimmering sheets as you make turns and cutbacks across the crest of a mountain in those precious few hours just after a storm. Your board glides over it with frictionless ease, nothing holding you down and nothing holding you back. Every sensation is heightened, every second stretches to eternity. You feel the flow beneath you, sliding past gravity in a vast white landscape, listening to yourself breathe or holding your breath as you hit a jump and suddenly you're airborne. The wind fills your lungs and the ecstasy of perfection overcomes you. There's the rush of speed that comes from meth, and then there's the rush of speed that comes from supercharging your senses in fresh powder. There is no comparison. But then again, I didn't have to choose. I was addicted to both of them, and in my mind they were intertwined. I lived for powder in one form or another, and before I could shake free of those twin addictions, I had to nearly die. This is the story of that near-death experience, through the valley of the shadow of death and out the other side. It's a story of addiction, but it's more than that. It's also about how you sometimes have to lose part of yourself, maybe even the part you love the most, before you can really know what makes you whole. It's a story about how finding your strength can come from reaching the limits of your endurance, about finding out if you never quit, you will win. It's about God and the unknowable, unimaginable plan God has for our lives. There was a time when I had no idea what that plan was. There was a time when I begged God to change his plan. And finally, there was a time when I finally surrendered to his plan. They are all part of this story, and one could not have happened without the other. Until I survived an ordeal that would strip away every false assumption and easy belief I ever had, I thought I knew who I was. And as far back as I can remember, a big part of that identity had been about my feet. That may sound weird. If most people were asked to single out their most important asset, they usually talk about their character and integrity, their mind or their heart or even their face. But for me, it was my feet. They carried me to victory after victory in my life, racking up one achievement after another. My footwork was what had earned me a place on the Boston Bruins lineup in the National Hockey League, the thrill of winning in the World Championships, and the opportunity to play in the 1994 Winter Olympics in Lillehammer, Norway.